few guys would want a hand to work for nothing, just his keep, why, I'd come and lend a hand. I ain't so crippled I can't work like a son of a bitch if I want to.
And you boys seen Curly?
They swung their heads toward the door. Looking in was Curly's wife. Her face was heavily made up. Her lips were slightly parted. She breathed strongly, as though she had been running.
Curly ain't been here,
Candy said sourly. She stood still in the doorway, smiling a little at them, rubbing the nails of one hand with the thumb and forefinger of the other. And her eyes traveled from one face to another.
They left all the weak ones here, she said finally. Think I don't know where they all went? Even Curly? I know where they all went.
Lenny watched her fascinated, but Candy and Crooks were scowling down away from her eyes. Candy said,
Then if you know, why you want to ask us where Curly's at?
She regarded them amusedly.
Funny thing, she said. If I catch any one man and he's alone, I get along fine with him. Just let two of the guys get together and you won't talk. Just nothing but mad.
She dropped her fingers and then put her hands on her hips.
Y'all scared of each other, that's what. Every one of you scared the rest is going to get something on you.
After a pause, Crooks said,
Maybe you better go along to your house now. We don't want no trouble.
Well, I ain't giving you no trouble. Think I don't like to talk to somebody every once in a while? Think I like to stick in that house all the time?
Candy laid the stump of his wrist on his knee and rubbed it gently with his hand. He said accusingly,
You got a husband. You got no call fooling around with us guys causing trouble.
The girl flared up.
Sure I got a husband. You all seen him. Swell guy, ain't he? Spends all his time saying what he's going to do to guys he don't like. He don't like nobody. Think I'm going to stay in that 2x4 house and listen to how Curly's going to lead with his left twice and then bring in the old right cross? 1-2, he says. Just the old 1-2 and he'll go down.
She paused and her face lost its sullenness and grew interested.
Say, what happened to Curly's hand?
There was an embarrassed silence. Candy stole a look at Lenny. Then he coughed.
Why, Curly, he got his hand caught in a machine, ma'am. Bust his hand.
She watched for a moment, and then she laughed.
Baloney! What you think you're selling me? Curly started something he didn't finish. Caught in a machine. Baloney! Why, he ain't give nobody the good old 1-2 since he got his hand bust. Who bust him?
Candy repeated sullenly.
Got his hand caught in a machine.
All right, she said contemptuously. All right, cover him up if you wanna. What do I care? You bindle bums think you're so damn good. What do you think I am, a kid? I tell you, I could have went with shows. Not just one, neither. And a guy told me he could put me in pictures.
She was breathless with indignation.
Saturday night. Everybody's out doing something. Everybody. And what am I doing? Standing here talking to a bunch of bindle stiffs. A nigger and a dum-dum and a lousy old sheep. I'm liking it because there ain't nobody else.
Lenny watched her, his mouth half open. Crooks had retired into the terrible protective dignity of the Negro, but a change came over old Candy. He stood up suddenly and knocked his nail keg over backward.
I had enough,
he said angrily.
You ain't wanted here. We told you you ain't. And I tell you, you got floozy ideas about what us guys amounts to. You ain't got sense enough in that chicken head to even see that we ain't stiffs. Suppose you get us canned. Suppose you do. You think we'll hit the highway and look for another lousy two-bit job like this? You don't know that we got our own ranch to go to, and our own house. We ain't got to stay here. We got a house and chickens and fruit trees and a place 100 times prettier than this. And we got friends. That's what we got. Maybe there was a time when we were scared of getting canned, but we ain't no more. We got our own land, and it's ours, and we can go to it.
Curly's wife laughed at him.
Baloney, she said. I seen too many you guys. If you had two bits in the world, why, you'd be getting two shots of corn with it and sucking the bottom of the glass. I know you guys.
Candy's face had grown redder and redder, but before she was done speaking, he had control of himself. He was the master of the situation.
I might have knew,
he said gently.
Maybe you just better go along and roll your hoop. We ain't got nothing to say to you at all. We know what we got, and we don't care whether you know it or not. So maybe you better just scatter along now, 'cause Curly maybe ain't gonna like his wife out in the barn with us bindle stiffed.
She looked from one face to another, and they were all closed against her, and she looked longest at Lenny until he dropped his eyes in embarrassment. Suddenly she said,
"Where you get them bruises on your face?"
Lenny looked up guiltily.
"Who? Me?"
"Yeah, you."
Lenny looked to Candy for help, and then he looked at his lap again.
"He got his hand caught in a machine,"
he said. Curly's wife laughed.
"Okay, machine. I'll talk to you later. I like machines."
Candy broke in.
"You let this guy alone. Don't do no messing around with him. I'm going to tell George what you says. George won't have you messing around with Lenny."
"Who's George?"
she asked.
"The little guy you come with?"
Lenny smiled happily.
"That's him," he said. "That's the guy, and he's going to let me tend the rabbits."
"Well, if that's all you want, I might get a couple of rabbits myself."
Crooks stood up from his bunk and faced her.
"I had enough," he said coldly. "You got no rights coming in a colored man's room. You got no rights messing around here at all. Now you just get out. And get out quick. If you don't, I'm going to ask the boss not to ever let you come in the bar no more."
She turned on him in scorn.
"Listen, nigger," she said. "You know what I can do to you if you open your trap?"
Crooks stared hopelessly at her. And then he sat down on his bunk and drew into himself. She closed on him.
"You know what I could do?"
Crooks seemed to grow smaller, and he pressed himself against the wall.
"Yes, ma'am."
"Well, you keep your place in, nigger. I could get you strung up on a tree so easy it ain't even funny."
Crooks had reduced himself to nothing. There was no personality, no ego, nothing to arouse either like or dislike. He said,
"Yes, ma'am."
And his voice was toneless.